you ever get bored, you can always go to Children's Church and help out here. Never a dull moment. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans 5. It's on page 942. We're going to be reading the first 11 verses, beginning our sermon series on Romans. Studying it. I'll have an outline for you next week. But we are going to begin our study here by looking at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. But so that we would better understand the context here, we'll read the first 11 verses. Romans chapter 5, and that's on page 942 of your pew Bibles. Hear God's word. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified, have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that your word is set lamp unto our feet, that light unto our path to lead us to Christ. Pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in each of our hearts, Lord, that your gospel seeds would be falling upon fertile soil, taking root, bearing fruit, Father, not only for our good, for our salvation, but for your glory. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the hard questions that we might ask ourselves as we prepare for a massive project is this: where do I start? You might be asking yourself that question here at the start of the new year. You know, where do I start with home organization? You know, where do I start with personal fitness or diet? Or you might be asking, where do I start with a Bible reading plan or family worship? My pastoral question for the preacher, for myself this morning, been asking it this week, is, you know, where do I start as we begin preaching this glorious gospel letter that we know as the book of Romans? You know, should I start at the opening verses of Romans? And we'll look at those verses, 1 through 7, next Lord's Day. Should I start with Romans 1, 16 and 17, often called the theme verses, Romans 1, 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. Should I start with one of what has been called the diamond chapters of Romans, Romans 8? And it concludes there with the golden chain of salvation, Romans 8, 28 and following. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. They're all great gospel truths, and by God's grace, unless the Lord comes again, we'll study each of those portions of Scripture. But this morning, I would invite you to turn to Romans 5, 1 through 2. Again, on page 942, these two opening verses from Romans 5, Romans 5 is a pivotal chapter in Romans, and these two verses are critical verses to understanding Romans 5, and I believe it's a helpful way for us to, for our study of this book of Romans. They provide a scriptural starting point for our study of this gospel gold mine. You know, in these verses, we'll hear, precious gospel words. Words like this: justified, faith, peace, grace, hope, the glory of God. And of course, we're going to hear a magnificent name for Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, or our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we prepare to begin this study of Romans, let us come and each Lord's Day with an eagerness to hear the gospel, a readiness to be transformed by the gospel, and finally a zeal to share this gospel with others. And with that in mind, here again, Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Here in these opening verses, we learned that the foundational proclamation of the gospel produces a glorious hope for us. What truths should we first learn as we begin our study of Romans? Just two this morning. One, we see here a gospel foundation, but then secondly, gospel fruits. Let's begin with that gospel foundation, of justification. Keep that word in mind here. Begins Romans 5, verse 1, with the word therefore. You've probably heard it said when you come across that word therefore in your Bibles, ask a question: what is it there for? It's a transitional word. And so it's always helpful to go back and read that portion of Scripture preceding that word therefore. And I'll just read a few verses. Romans 4, verse 22 and following, Romans 4, verse 22, that is why his faith, and there it's speaking of Abraham, that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words that was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. These gospel truths have already been proclaimed to the believers there at Rome by the Apostle Paul. And as you read through Romans, and again, I'm going to encourage you to read through Romans, maybe just a chapter a day, 16 chapters, or you can break it down into four chapters at a time, but take you about 20 minutes then, or half and half, Romans 1 through 8 and then 9 through 16, but read through it. For the strengthening of your faith. But as you read through Romans, you'll see a flow, a gospel flow to it. It starts with the problem of sin, tells us about the righteousness of God and truths about a justification. And so we're, as we go through Romans, just a practical application, I think it will be helpful that you take notes. Portion in the scripture or in the worship bulletin to take notes. You can take notes in your Bible. There's a helpful journal that you can find, and I think Lynn has a copy of it. It has a portion of scripture on one page and a blank page on the next. And part of the notes that I would encourage you to take, just definitions of words, words we don't use in everyday conversation. And that first word is that word justification. What does it mean? Our children's catechism puts it this way. How can God justify you? Question 53. And the answer is by forgiving all my sins and declaring me to be righteous. That's a good start. Take it a step further. In our shorter catechism, you're not there yet, but question 33, what is justification? And the answer is justification is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Maybe a whole boatload of biblical truth there, but let's look at three truths about justification that we can treasure as we start our study of the book of Romans. And the first truth about justification, it speaks of God's free grace. God's free grace. There's a portion, again, from our Westminster Larger Catechism, just reading a portion, Westminster Larger Catechism 71, speaking about justification, it goes on and says, quote, and requiring nothing of them for their justification by faith, which is also his gift, their justification is to them of free grace. What's free grace? It's free grace because it costs us nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. The only thing we bring to our salvation is our sins and our repentance. We're not saved by our baptism. We'll see in Romans, we're not saved by circumcision. Not saved because you're a Jew or not a Jew. You're not saved by your net worth. You're not saved by your IQ or my IQ, praise God. We're not saved by our social status. And getting on thin ice, we're not saved by our loyalty to our favorite SEC team. Get ready for that in heaven. There will be non-Tiger fans in heaven. But free grace, God sovereignly poured out his grace upon us who were unworthy and undeserving. Justification. If you want a short solution, Guy Waters has written this, God's solution to our problem of sin. God's solution to our problem of sin. It's a graciously free gift. Secondly, justification speaks of forgiveness of sin. So God's free grace, and then secondly, forgiveness of sins. It's a costly forgiveness. Yes, it's free grace, and yet it's a costly forgiveness. It required the shed blood of the Son of God. You know, Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Just a few verses down, Romans 5, verse 9. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. You know, forgiveness of sins. We're cleansed from our sins by the shed blood of Christ. And God graciously clothes us with the righteousness of Christ. You know, God's free grace, forgiveness of sins with justification. And the third truth is faith. Going back here again, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that can also be read, having been justified by faith. For those of you who like language, it's what's called an aorist passive. It's a done deal. We have been justified by faith. You know, once and for all, it's certain. You know, it's passive in the sense that we didn't justify ourselves. We didn't declare ourselves righteous. It's God in Christ who declared us righteous, having been justified by faith. You know, and don't be confused here. There are some who say, well, you know, God is a gracious, forgiving God. You know, he does his part. I do my part bringing faith. No, as we'll see in Romans here, God graciously gives us the faith that we need for our salvation. We have been, or having been, justified by faith. It's a gospel promise that God will never break. You know, God's gracious gift of justification. And he does all the work. You know, he even, as I've said, graciously gives us his gift of saving faith in Christ. He declares us righteous in Christ. You know, Martin Luther, if you read Luther, would often talk about an alien righteousness. You know, what's an alien righteousness? It's a righteousness not of our own, a righteousness outside of ourselves, the righteousness of another. You know, and so God gave us, clothed us with the righteousness of Christ. You know, this gospel truth about justification is foundational to God's word, and especially to Romans. You know, you'll see other words associated with that. Yes, grace. Yes, the word righteousness. Yes, the word holiness. You know, but you know, here in this introductory message, you know, it's vital that we begin to get our minds and hearts around this gospel, gracious gospel truth about justification. You know, it's foundational. I may have told this story before, but when I pastored a church in Jackson, Mississippi, we started a big building project. After much prayer and study, we signed a contract for the construction of a new building for the sanctuary, church offices, nursery, classrooms. You know, we had been worshiping and meeting in an old house, actually worshiping in a converted carport. And, you know, from my study, you know, where this new structure was built on site, from my office window, I could look out and see them as the work crews began their work. You know, they first took soil borings, you know, to see the nature of the ground underneath. They removed unstable Yazoo clay. That's a plague in that part of Mississippi. They brought in fill. They compacted the soil, spread it with lime, dug the footers, and then, you know, and this took months. And then finally, they put up the forms, laid the mesh, and finally poured the concrete for the foundation. You know, this work of laying the foundation required skill, time, and of course financial resources, and it was vital for the church structure. You know, but laying that strong foundation enabled them, you know, to build a beautiful, practical church structure. You know, and if that's true of buildings, you know, how much more is it true of our walk of faith with Christ? A gospel foundation, you know, that we as sinners can come before a holy God, you know, because of the righteousness of Christ. You know, that's the story of Romans. That's the story of the Bible. You know, we can come into God's presence because of his grace to us in Christ. That's a gospel foundation. You know, and that's what Paul is preaching here to the church at Rome. You know, we'll talk more about Rome. Rome was one of the great cities of the world. It was a dominant, a world power, had a strong military, a strong Roman government, a hub for world trade. It was the cultural center of the world. You might have heard a line from the poem by Edgar Allan Poe to Helen, but the line is this: "The glory that was Greece and the grandeur that was Rome." And what did Rome need? Did they need more military power? They need, you know, another museum? You know, another elected official? No, they needed the gospel. That's what our country, our world, our community needs today. It's the gospel. So a gospel foundation, but then the gospel fruits. And the latter part of verse 1 and verse 2, let me read these verses again. Therefore, Romans 5, verse 1, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Gospel foundation moves to gospel fruits. We'll see that that's a pattern of Romans. You go from doctrine, you go from the problem to that gospel solution here. In one of his introductions to the Bible, Leland Ryken writes this: "The best motivation for a life of fruitful service to God is a deep grasp of God's grace in the gospel. Nowhere is this grace more clearly explained or triumphantly celebrated than in the book of Romans." You know, three gospel fruits of justification. You know, since we have that right relationship with God by grace through faith in Christ, you know, it's not only salvation. You know, but here are these gospel fruits of justification. You know, and the first one there, just three. The first one there is peace, then we'll see access or entrance, and then hope. First one is godly peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a treasured first fruit. Notice what it says: we have peace. Not we had peace way in the past, or not we will have peace one day when we're in glory. You know, but we have peace now. It's a present possession because of God's gospel work of justification. You know, lest we gloss over that word peace, you know, what is peace? Is it just a ceasefire? Okay, you know, we're not killing them. They're not shooting missiles at us. Is it just the absence of conflict, the temporary cessation of hostilities? No, it's salvation. And here the Old Testament word for peace is shalom, salvation, shalom. You know, you hear it in Numbers 6, that benediction, Numbers 6. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You heard it in Psalm 85, Psalm 85, verse 8, let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. You know, with peace, you know, it's vital that we keep these scriptural teachings in mind, you know, about the character of God. And first is God's holy wrath against sin and against unrepentant sinners. You know, without salvation, we're God's enemies. You know, and we then would only endure God's holy wrath without Christ. You know, that's what Romans 6, verse 23 teaches us. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, God's holy wrath against sin, but peace, secondly, springs from God. God is the source of peace. We'll see that as we look at the introductory verses next Lord's Day, but Romans chapter 1, verse 7, to all those in Rome who are loved by God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. John Murray put it this way, thinking about peace. Love this quote. Peace with God is a gift of grace flowing from justification and inseparable from it. You know, notice how those truths are linked. You know, justification, we have a right relationship with God. And what's the first fruit of a right relationship with God? We have peace with God. Peace with one another as well. Peace in God's creation. You know, we have peace with God, but look at the last part, through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's the only pathway to peace. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. And even unpacking each of those titles for Christ, he's Lord, he's divine, he's Jesus, the one who saves us from our sins. He is Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. And so you put all those together, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, godly peace. Secondly, we have gracious access. This is trying to explain it to the children, and I do that part of it so I can understand it better. Through him, verse 2 of Romans 5, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You know, that we have access. We have, it can also be interpreted, introduction or entrance. You know, Christ graciously gives us the freedom and the glorious privilege of coming into the holy presence of our Heavenly Father. You know, but Christ starts by graciously inviting us to enter into his presence. Is that not what we say? Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. One Douglas Moo put it this way, speaking of gracious access. It's the believer's continuing ability to enjoy the presence of Christ. You know, it's not a one and done deal. Yeah, I had a mountaintop experience with the Lord one time in my life. Probably never capture it again. But it's a continuing ability to enjoy the presence of Christ. Monday morning, when the alarm clock goes off, you're headed to school, to work, wherever it might be, you can know that gracious access to God. You know, gospel freedom. This gospel freedom to come into the presence of Christ is an abiding privilege for the Christian believer. You know, again, we come in faith. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith You know, again, don't think, well, this is just a subjective thing. I don't feel as if I can come into God's presence. I've had a horrible, you know, bad day, however that expression goes. No, it's an objective faith. It's a biblical faith. It's a strong faith, a solid faith in what Christ has done. Use this illustration, a little bit of hesitancy. Regardless of your political affiliations, you know, there's a picture of then President John F. Kennedy. I think I saw it later in life. And in the center of the picture is, you know, John Jr. I forget how old he is, just a child. And he's playing on a rug, playing with his toys. And as you study the picture, you say, this looks familiar. And then all of a sudden you realize this is the Oval Office. And then in the background you see President John F. Kennedy, you know, sitting behind the desk on the phone. And, you know, a striking image. You know, and use that illustration to make the point here. You know, the president gladly welcomed his son, you know, even into the Oval Office. You know, he had gracious access there. You know, and if that's true of presidents and their son, how much more true, you know, is it of us as sons and daughters of the King of Kings? We have gracious access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, because of the gospel. You know, because Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, fully paid the price for our salvation, rose again from the dead. You know, his righteousness is credited to our account. We're clothed in his righteousness. We're justified in Christ. You know, but there's a final truth there, a final fruit. It's not only gracious forgiveness. Well, it's gracious access, second one. First one, godly peace. There's a glorious hope, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We continually boast. We continually exult. You know, the word speaks of a joyful confidence of coming before the Lord. You know, we don't come with hesitation. You know, we come before him with holy reverence. You know, but we are to come as well, you know, rejoicing in our redemption. You know, rejoicing that he has forgiven our sins. Rejoicing that he considers us righteous, counts us righteous because of the righteousness of Christ. And John Stott calls this third fruit of gospel justification, quote, the ultimate effect of justification, because in heaven God will be fully revealed. You know, it's a glimpse into the future here. We're going to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have a taste of it here and now, but we're going to experience it in all its fullness, you know, when we behold the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And finally, there, just the pronoun, we rejoice in hope. You know, I'm struck here, you know, five times in these two verses, you know, Scripture, the Apostle Paul uses that plural pronoun. It's not I or they, it's we. We as a community of faith, we who are trusting in Christ together, walking together in faith, worshiping the Lord, bearing witness to the love of Christ, we rejoice in hope. Three gospel fruits of justification: godly peace, gracious access, glorious hope. You know, although it's been a few years since, you know, I traveled abroad. Lynn and I have traveled abroad, made a quick trip over to Atlanta. You know, and for those of you who have done it, you know the boatload of details that you have to pay attention to beforehand. You got to check your passport. Did I get the right shots? Am I taking the right medicine with me, the right clothes for the region? Do I pack in the right snacks? That's always important for me, or some spare instant coffee if I suffer caffeine deprivation along the way. Do I have traveler's checks or credit cards? You're figuring out all these details. You know, do I have all the vital things with me? And sure, shooting, you're going to forget something, but you're hoping it's something minor, you know, something I can get along without this, or I can buy it along the way. But here in Romans, you know, it tells us in this journey of faith with Christ, don't ever forget the gospel. You know, keep the gospel front and center. You know, in your own walk of faith, in your church, in your family, you know, that glorious and gracious gospel that we have been justified by faith in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the good news of the gospel given, proclaimed to sinners like us, undeserving, unworthy, and yet you have set your love upon us in Christ. And Father God, you have not only given us salvation assurance, but even these gospel fruits, Father. And Lord, may we never take this good news of the gospel for granted. Might it lead us not only to worship, but Lord, we pray as well that we would be used of you to bear witness to others around us, Father, of the good news of the gospel, salvation by grace through faith in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.